You know what to do.
Okay, this is Louise Ferguson interviewing native elder Edith Nayuk from Barry. We're in number 5 Walsh Hall, and it's the 11th of November 2005.
Veterans Day.
Okay. So, I wanted to talk to you today about your thoughts on how missionaries and westernization and like oil drilling in Barrow and all these things have affected the people and your people and your culture and beliefs. And so, like, what the main differences you think were afterwards, like after, you know, electricity had been introduced, and like how it affected like traditional like ways of living.
Okay.
Mouthful of cake at the moment.
One subject at a time. The first one that you said.
Okay. Your opinions on whether, on what positive things and what negative things
in our culture,
of your culture, and it like being affected by the Western world
coming in
and like modernization.
Okay. Before missionaries came, we were we were the healthiest, most agile, no cavities. We lived off the land, ate our native foods, we chopped wood, we chop ice. Everything was so natural. We didn't have any rubber boots or anything like that. Centuries and centuries and centuries ago. And we knew about a creator. We had our Inupiaq dances, the spiritual essence of our culture was whaling, our Eskimo dances, hunting. It was all given to us that we may respect the land and the animals, and also helping each other, sharing our food. So when the missionaries came, it was taboo to Eskimo dance. They stopped it. They were trying to stop it, but they didn't succeed. We still maintain our whaling, our hunting, our Eskimo dances, but the way it affected was when the white man came, high blood pressure, diabetes, a lot of cavities.
Yeah, because
Of the sugar, caffeine, and also along down the line, we started depending on cars, and pretty soon the TV came, no activity there. You just sat around and watched TV.
So lots of people have televisions.
Yeah, most of them. Most of them. Yeah.
Do you know what the main reasons were for stopping native dances? Why they thought it was a bad thing?
They thought it was all shamanism. I think that's why. You know, it's not. It's the spiritual essence of our culture. today, even today right now, just during ASN you could feel the spirit.
Yeah, I mean, even when we danced in class,
man,
that was lovely.
Yeah, you feel the spirit.
I felt really positive afterwards. I felt like it was like a really I felt the energy, you know, and it was it was lovely, you know, sharing that with everybody. And I think even though we weren't very good, it was still a lot of fun. And I can, after that, I could understand a lot more what you meant about the dancing.
The spiritual essence of our culture.
Yeah.
And then you live in someday, I hope someday that you would come up in June, the Huailin Festival. That's really, you know, the spiritual essence of our culture is watching people celebrate that Huailin Festival. After a successful, even this month in Thanksgiving, the joy of giving, the joy of being at the church and partaking in the maktak and the whale meat, frozen maktak and the caribou soup and the donuts and crackers and hot coffee, hot tea. It's just a wonderful, you know, we do that all the time.
I tried some whale the other day. My housemate, my roommate, she is a Yupik.
Who is your roommate?
She's called Tracy Augustine.
Oh, okay. I don't know her.
She's
from where?
She is, I don't know. I think she's from somewhere on the west coast, or just like North Bankridge. There where the Yukon meets the sea, the Yukon Delta.
Meets the sea?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly what it's called.
Okay.
It was interesting taste.
You tried whale meat? Wow.
Yeah, I felt very lucky.
Wow.
So I tried that.
Wow.
But, so people, your people still, practice Christianity. And I find that it's quite strange. Well, I mean, I find that must be one of the most difficult things for people to have to adopt this kind of religious system.
But at the same time, it was beneficial. Because I was just remembering, I'm giving you the positive side of
like,
we were the most agile, healthiest, and no diabetes, no high blood pressure. But at the same time, during our long time ago survival as Inupiaq, there was also this shamanism, black magic,
right,
that was being, you know. And so with Christianity, they abolished that. And I think the mistake was that they totally abolished the Eskimo dancing, which was not total shamanism.
It was just spirit positive, much more positive than but I was reading this essay yesterday by an author called, do you know Paula Gunn-Allen? She wrote a book called The Sacred Heap, and in it she kind of discusses she's like a really influential like Native American author. I can't remember
from what.
I think she's from the lower 48, but she's not an Alaskan, well, thank you. She wrote about how important it is, like how important oral tradition and literature is in like Native American culture, but also how it's difficult to understand oral tradition and literature without understanding the culture. And that she was saying that the Western thought is like a completely different like way of thinking to like Native in American, whereas we think of everything in kind of like a like hierarchical sense, like we have one God and everyone is below that, and humans are above animals, and whereas Native Indian like is more like everything is
the
spirit, the circle, which is what is called the sacred hoop. And so that's why I was saying I think it must have been very hard for people to adopt Christianity, because that works on like a hierarchical scale. So you're talking about like, you know, going from thinking in one way about, you know, a spiritual like circle to like thinking about, you know, one God. I mean, do you know if it was kind of changed in any way to kind of like, if it was adapted by the people, you know, by Native Americans or Alaskan Natives?
It was not just one total mistake of missionaries coming. We learned about school. They taught us about education and learning the English language, and we were able to have somebody translate the Bible into English. And our culture is not dead.
No.
The Inupiaq culture is not dead. It had been with us, inside of us. The spirit has been inside of us, and it will continue to be inside of us, and we will continue to instill it in our younger generations. So when the missionaries came, it was so sad that some generations experienced sexual abuse, being abused, being punished.
By the missionaries?
Yeah, being punished by the teachers for speaking in their language, for speaking in Inupiaq. So there's a lot of factors where there was a lot of secrets, you know, and we grow from there. We will no longer be dominated and manipulated by some other culture. It's not our shame and guilt. We throw it back to whoever did it to us, whoever violated us. We throw it back to them. And thank God we still maintain our dances, we still maintain our language. We will make sure that our grandchildren, our children do not forget our culture. So there was a lot of confusion. But thank God for us, when we were growing up, we had an Inupiaq teacher. When we got confused or couldn't understand what he was trying to teach us in English, he would explain it to us in Inupiaq. Dr. Harold Kavili.
Was that allowed? Was he allowed to do that?
Nobody knows. So why should he tell?
Good.
The government. No, I mean,
the missionary, yeah.
That's the first time somebody ever asked me, was he allowed? He did. Why not? So
yeah,
that we
well,
could
good,
learn.
It's good he did, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it was abolished in the school system back then.
Did the missionaries ever try and learn anything from the Inupiaq people?
Try to learn?
Yeah, like, try and learn anything from the Inupiaq. I mean, because
it was all control.
Not learning.
Trying to control us. Trying to control. In order to be saved, you have to do this, you have to quit smoking, you have to quit stomach dancing, you have to quit this, quit that.
Everything works on
it's
guilt.
It's all control.
Guilt, yeah. Yeah.
That's so stupid. You know. So in our church, it wasn't forced. In my generation anyway, I enjoyed being in the church. I grew up in the church. So it has to do with the fact that it wasn't forced on you. We enjoyed it. But the earlier, the generation before us, they say, they tell that they were punished when they speak in their language. I think it was in their school. I don't know. It depends on what teacher that was teaching. You know, because when we went to Barrow, when our dad moved the whole family in 1956, that's when we started experiencing, that's when we got into a school system where one room is third grade, one room is fourth grade, mm. another room is fifth grade, another room is sixth grade.
And before that?
And seventh grade. Before that it was one big schoolhouse.
So that was up to,
one
the, age
room.
Of, up to the age of what? How old were you then?
It depends on some were like even 20 years old.
But how old were you when that was when you moved?
Probably 8. Oh, I was 8 years old when our dad, our mom and dad, right. moved the whole family to Barrow from Cockton.
So, what stage of were there still missionaries when you were younger?
Yeah.
There's not now though.
The missionaries was the first white people.
Yeah.
I'm not in that generation.
No. That was
I grew up with the church. I'm a born Presbyterian, born Democrat.
Democrat.
yeah.
yeah.
so I loved it. We went to church. We were brought up in the church. There was Presbyterians. There were activities for the young people to do. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Community, good community.
Yeah. No, yeah. Whoever wants to come, it was children's activities.
So you think Christianity?
Presbyterians was a Christian activity. Holocaust bearers, that's an age above Presbyterians. Kids. We were kids, Presbyterians. Polar Cross Bearers was preteens. Come in! Preteens. Hi. And Polar Cross Bearers was like the preteen. And then Westminster Fellowship were the older after 8th grade, I think. 7th grade, that age group. So I did grow up in the church, and there's we have to get that stigma out of our culture that missionaries, you know, were no good. They destroyed our culture. No way. We destroy ourselves when we.
There were some benefits.
Do the things that we shouldn't do. anyway, there was some good in that. It depends on the individual. And Inupiaq might be so angry, so and then they blame it on the missionaries. I don't know whatever happened to them when they were kids, and they are very angry, and you know, but we have to be contented and happy that we still can talk in our language.
Mm-hmm.
We can have our dances, Eskimo dances, and we can whale, we can hunt, you know, we do have our culture.
Yeah. And it's still very strong.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very strong. Yeah.
And so did the missionaries bring alcohol? Was that something the missionaries brought?
No.
How did that?
Not the missionaries. It was the ships that were coming in, the sailors. They brought the alcohol.
And before that, there was no alcohol?
Before that, there was no alcohol.
Did it have a really bad effect on yes. society?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when
did many
children learn what they live. It started a really bad cycle of alcoholics. in the family. But pretty soon the domestic violence from alcohol is involved. A lot of unhappy situations come around when you're drunk. And it's a sad situation.
Why do you think that it was abused so much? Why did people turn to alcohol so much?
They might be angry. They might be in pain. They don't know how to cope with their pain, so that's medicine for them. They might be running away from the pain. The alcohol is sort of like
anesthetic.
Yeah, anesthetic. If I drink, I'm not going to think so much. If I drink, I hope the problem goes away, but it doesn't.
Do you think that's partly because people kind of forgot how to appreciate their culture? Because they've kind of been, like, they've been made to feel, like, ashamed of their culture at any point. Like, not, like, with the when the missionaries came, they were like, you're not allowed to speak your language, you're not allowed to dance, and you have to go to church. And do you think that people were made to feel bad about their culture?
Too bad. They were controlling people like that. Missionaries were controlling people like that. But it has evolved where right now, today, this generation or the young people are starting to get more interested in the Inupiaq culture and getting involved in Eskimo dances and learning the language, learning how to write it, read it. So there's cause to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before it was just a lot of confusion, a lot of pain. And when you do get back into your culture and learn the dances and do the things that make you feel good, then that's very good. I think that's where, because earlier I said only when you're sober you can really appreciate the spiritual essence of our culture.
Yeah, otherwise you're kind of numbed to it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, have you spent your whole life in Barrow then? When?
I was raised there.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So after you went to the second school, when you were 8, you moved to a school, a eighth bigger grade, school.
I went to Wrangell Institute from Barrow. I think 4 of us were sent out to Wrangell Institute. We were one grade ahead of the other class.
And that was English speaking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So going back to missionaries again, did they change the way that like subsistence farming and hunting, did they influence that? Not just missionaries, but like has like technology changed like the ways that people hunt and fish? Like, has it changed very much over the last 100 years?
It made it better.
Right, more efficient.
We're still hunting, we're still whaling.
Yeah.
So we use what we can use.
Yeah. How do you know how the main ways in which it's changed?
Even though there's technology, we take advantage of the boat, the faster boat, the more accurate whale gun or this harpoon,
instant kill.
Yeah. So we use technology, but we have not lost our culture. We have not lost. We will not. Why? The missionaries didn't take anything away from us. We allowed it ourselves.
Okay.
When we allow ourselves to feel ashamed and I don't want to Eskimo dance anymore, it's, you know, that's our choice.
Do you think a lot of people share your views?
Hmm?
Do you think a lot of other people
share my views?
Yeah.
I hope everybody feels the same way that I do inside. I'm an Eskimo. I'm an Inupiaq, full-blooded Inupiaq. Nobody, there's no way, no missionary, no school, nothing will ever take my individuality as an Inupiaq.
What do you think is like the most defining feature of being like an Inupiaq? Having an Inupiaq as your identity,
mm-hmm.
Like what do you think the spiritual essence, or do you think the physical essence, or do you think that your heritage, or I mean, do you think it's up here,
in your head,
or your heart, or
it's in here, it's spirit? In your heart, it's in your soul.
So do you think if, say, if somebody came to live like from another culture came to live as an Inupiaq, do you think it would ever be possible that they would be able to become in spirit? Or do you think it's more than that? Do you think they could become like an Eskimo
they can.
In spirit? Even if you came from, say if I came and lived in Barrow as an Inupiaq and I embraced the culture and I thought I understood it spiritually, do you think that it would be possible for like somebody to...
There is Tom Opie, there is Bud Stevens, there is Maury Lehman, there is these white people that have adopted our culture.
Yeah. Are they accepted?
They're from different states, different families.
Yeah.
White people.
Isn't your daughter, your sister, she married to... And some of the photos we were looking at.
Oh, my brother is married to somebody from Virginia.
Oh.
Yeah. So she's considered our sister.
And is she kind of, is she adopted?
She misses Barrow more than ever when she goes out and go home or whatever. So that's her home.
Her spirit is
They've been there like over 20 years now. So yes, somebody can consider it their home and not go home to their original place if they marry into a family, or some people might just move up there. Yeah, to Barrow.
So when is the wedding festival?
June.
June.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about the oil drilling as well? What's the general attitude towards like the oil drilling up near Barrow, like Anwar? Do you know what people think?
Some Inupiaqs who embrace it, some Inupiaqs that don't.
Yeah, just like as in
we're gonna kill our animals. The trail is gonna be affected, or whatever, if somebody's really into hunting and everything else, they wouldn't want somebody to be affecting the animals that they hunt. The fishing and terrible hunting and wouldn't be effective. It won't be effective.
Did you? Is there drilling near? There's drilling near Barrow now. Or is it near? Where's the drilling?
What's it? That's the latest drilling there.
Does that affect? So like towns and societies like of natives when there is like drilling like and more people from like from the oil drilling sites coming into the town, and does that affect people at all?
We learn to live in two worlds. If we keep being fighting off and get out of our land, get out of our land, they'll find a way to get into our land. I know those rich people, they have politics and I'm not going to go in there.
Yeah, go for it.
Huh?
Go for it.
Why
not?
I want this to be for me. I wish that we didn't have to deal with the oil companies. But like I said, they're here, they're drilling. What's the next step? The next step is to manage our own land. Be strong and say, no way, you're not going to drill there. And I think that we have it like that on our ocean. We say, no way, no way, no way. The oil companies, we're always find a way to drill somewhere. We've dealt with them for like 30 years. They have helped us in maintaining health clinics in all the villages. The many beneficial things that we have in our own communities, in our little villages, those were possible with this municipal government that was established by the late Eben Hobson Sr. He established the North Slope Borough, and we reap the benefits of the oil companies drilling.
Yeah.
We have a really good school system, you know. But at the same time, we have to use common sense and say, learn to be assertive and not give in to them totally, where we have the power to say, no! No way, you know?
Yeah.
No, learning how to
stand your ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks very much. I've really enjoyed talking to you this time and the last couple of times as well. And I hope you got to express everything you wanted to.